everyone, and welcome to Weird Awakenings. Glad you could join us. Tonight we are going to be talking about the mysteries of ancient Egypt. You know, they have been fascinating people for several hundred years. They have everything involved from curses and aliens to missing people. And no matter how much you delve into it, there's always more to find. Tonight, we've got our guys from Where in the Folk, Cecil and Tully, and our friend Steven, and we're just going to jump in. Guys, what's your favorite Egyptian mystery?
There's a lot of them.
There really are.
Where do you want to start tonight?
Hey, just jump in and start, because I have a feeling this one's going to go over a lot of places.
Go ahead and get in with your rant, Cecil.
Well, we could jump into the vast ocean that was there in around 7,000 years ago that they say that they believe that the Sphinx.
What's up, Mike?
They believe that the Sphinx, in whatever shape it was in before, you know, the head was carved out, was underwater around, 795,000 years ago? So now where you see desert, of course, this ain't like conspiracy or anything anymore. Like, they've basically confirmed that this area was underwater and then turned into a rainforest, basically. So that's kind of one that's true that I like to get on top.
Do you know something that I did not know until relatively recently, I would say probably the last couple of years, is the Sphinx has a tail?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just, I don't know how I've missed that, you know, for all those years, but just all of a sudden, you know, I was looking at a picture and it was like, that's a tail.
Off topic, but there's actually a Mandela about the Sphinx.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There's the Mandela is whether the Sphinx is smiling or not.
You can't.
I can't remember whether it's smiling now or not, but whatever it is now, people remember it the other way.
Well, the Sphinx itself is a crazy anomaly because most people believe that it was built around the times the pyramids was, but you know, based on the water erosion and everything, they suspect that it could be like up to 800,000 years old because of the water erosion and when the water was in that area.
Well, I mean, so here's kind of where I'm at with it all. So basically, we know that there's Egyptian architecture all around the world, like the Grand Canyon. They found it all over America. Mm-hmm. And we know that that Tartaria covered almost a whole planet at one point. I would be interested.
For a fact.
I'd be interested to know what Egypt's relationship was with Tartaria, or if they were a part of Tartaria, like, you know, kind of how, you know, Los Angeles is part of the United States of America. Maybe Egypt was a part of the Tartarian Empire, and that's how we have a Sphinx in the Grand Canyon and that tomb that they uncovered of a pharaoh in Lexington, Kentucky.
Right.
That's kind of where I'd like to go with that too, because the Sphinx, it's one of the conspiracy theories that the head was different before, like, the Egyptians sold that area. Then they carved the head down into a human head, which is why it looks so disproportionate opposed to the body.
Is it easy to find that symbolism that you were showing me?
Yeah, just a Tartarian flag. But if you look at the Tartarian flag and you look at what this probably used to look like, imagine if it would have had wings originally, like laying on it somewhere, and the head was, you know, a tiger head, which is probably likely.
Oh, and none of the pictures or videos we show today are ours. We don't own anything.
Yeah.
Not even our rights. We're straw men.
Right.
So you know, there's always too, you know, the fact that, you know, it's always remarked upon since I started looking at it years ago, is the fact that the nose is missing. And what happened, right? You know, somebody blow it off, or, you know,
Napoleon and his guys shot at it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, so what did it look like before that? You know,
I think it looked just like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so if it was like this and it was like paws down, they could have easily carved on that to make it look like something different.
Right.
Yeah, they could have easily carved it and shaped it into the face of a man. I mean, the Sphinx is basically a yard hang. It was just an outcrop in the rock that they carved on it.
Hello, unknown user.
Yeah, it was a lion at one time, and they put a pharaoh on it. Robert Schock was the one in 1992 who went there at the request of Jonathan West, and Robert Schock was the one who said it's water damage that's on the Sphinx. You know, there are a lot of things about the Great Pyramids. The Egyptians, they've got a story of how it was created in either 2650, 2700, 2650, somewhere around through there. The story that they tell is they had the population of 300,000 people. It took 20,000 people to build the Sphinx. You've got over 2.5 million blocks of limestone cut perfectly. It's lined up due north, closer than the Paris Observatory. Did you know that?
That's crazy, ain't it?
Yeah. That's, and what they claim is that people went from gathering up roots and seeds in the desert to 200 years later, they had this technology to build the Great Pyramid. We couldn't even measure the Great Pyramid until 1964 when a laser transit was finally invented. It wasn't until then that they could even measure the thing. They say it has four sides. It doesn't have four sides. It has eight. Yeah.
You know how they did that? They took a stick and drew in the sand how they did it.
I hear a lot of people talk. You know, they really, they didn't have any technology. It was just a lot of work. But no, it really wasn't. You know, there's a lot more to it. There's the precision alone.
Yeah, and the storyline they also went with was this was the first great building of mankind, you know. No, wrong again. Göbekli Tepe. Good night. This stuff right here, it's...
Yeah, what always kills me is like, I mean, you know they're big, but you really don't get the full perspective of how huge and massive these things are. Like, this is Cairo. These are their tallest buildings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and like I said, you know, they've done, x-rays and everything of it. They know there's another chamber in there that has no opening. You know, they have no idea what's there. Of course, you know, if there's something there, then it got walled in. Mm-hmm. But it could be anything. Ooh. And then, you know, there's always the speculation about there being something under the paw of the Sphinx.
Yeah, so you remember back when we were doing the Exposing the Exposition series?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Almost every one of those world's fairs had a pyramid.
Yeah.
And that leads into, like, there was always a pyramid and a hot air balloon, and it's thought that that was their power sources for those world's fairs.
Mm-hmm. But these things are all over the world.
Some of them.
Yeah, it's. I sent you a deal the other day, Tilly. It was the. It's in Qinxi, China. That's the biggest pyramid in the world. It's 1,100 feet tall. Have any of y'all ever heard of it?
No, and you won't. You know because of the location that it's in, just like that lost city, or you know that underground hole forest that they found in China.
Yeah. So much stays hidden. You know, that's found over there.
Yeah. Somebody brought up a migraine a minute ago, and I've been suffering with it for 3 days. How do you get rid of a migraine?
Well, you know, sometimes you just don't because I get them, and a lot of mine are weather related. When the pressure starts fluctuating, my head starts fluctuating.
Sorry to take us off topic, but
I have something everybody could try for a migraine.
Last 3 days over it.
Apparently, if you take those seasickness, what Dramamine.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If you take that, it's supposed to help with a migraine.
All right.
Okay.
Back on top.
Also, if you'll squeeze your hand somewhere in between your pinky finger and your ring finger, Then pop your neck.
Yeah.
On that side.
Yep.
Yeah. But squid, put pressure in between your fingers there, Cecil. Yep. And then pop your neck.
Yep. And there's actually a pressure point on the sole of your foot, mm-hmm. like in that dent on that top part, that right. can help too. That helps me a lot of times when I'm nauseous with them. All so right. yeah, it's been a week, yeah. evidently, because I had one earlier this week too. So
not only do we cover the swings, but then
yes, alternative medical treatments
for all you.
But, you know, and that's somebody, and I'm thinking this is Miss Hadley, just from comments and stuff. The Lion's Gate.
Yeah,
I don't even know what that is.
Well, like, that, go ahead.
What is it?
The Great Pyramid. I don't know about the Lion's Gate and all that there. The Great Pyramid, I know that I've heard people talk about how they can feel the energy whenever they've been around or gone inside the Great Pyramid. But if you look at a lot of the other pyramids around the world, they have flat tops on them, as though they were trying to create some kind of a gateway or a stargate on them.
Oh,
it's just like that.
We know it was Captain Gold at one point, right?
Yeah, well, that's what they believe. It had white limestone. It was covered in white limestone with a gold cap.
They said that it would like almost blind you.
Yeah.
Because it was so white in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, I've always had more interest in like South American pyramids than Egyptian mm-hmm. pyramids. Just they draw me. They there's more of a pull there for me. Right. But yeah, that's always, you know, it's another one of those things, those technologies that you see in completely unrelated places mm-hmm. that are so similar.
You know, one of the reasons I heard why they stopped letting people up the stairs of those pyramids in South America is because of all the anomalies that were happening. Mm-hmm. Like people feeling really strange, like vibrational type stuff at the top.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like if they were like a stark watt, wouldn't that absorb heat?
You'd think so.
Like
mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they took in consideration on the Great Pyramid, you know, the change in temperature.
Well, yeah, it's always 68 degrees in the pyramid.
Also, the rocks can move. They've got expansion joints in it, too.
Nice.
Yeah, kind of like the Golden Gate Bridge or something like that, where you have your expansion joints in these large bridges, where they can expand in the heat and contract in the cold.
So, I mean...
That was taken into consideration as well on the Great Pyramid.
It's a good thing there wasn't a good breeze when they were drawing that out in the sand.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, could we even do this now? Like, could we even build this? Could we replicate it?
Well, in 1964, there was a company that said that they could build one, and in 1964, it would have cost $60 billion.
Hey, Bethany.
They said in 1964, you would have spent $60 billion. So you do the inflation from 1964 until now as to what it would cost.
Hey, Jennifer.
Wow.
Hi, Jennifer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, you know, 50 years ago, I mean, or a little more, it would have cost that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. accounting for inflation or anything else, I mean... But, you know, and of course, you hear so many different things about, oh, well, it was done with slave labor. Oh, well, it was just people who wanted to help, and they did it in 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years. So yeah. they had to be placing a stone every 1 to 2 minutes to get that done in 20 years. Because not only did they build the Great Pyramid, they also built the pyramid beside it at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and they had a population of 300,000 people, and you know some of them were women and children and people who were not able to help on it.
Right, because, you know, sadly there was a lot of brother-sister marriage back then, you know, so.
Yeah, that's going on into our time.
Yes. I mean, and it's crazy, you know, that's like, you know, one of the other things that does come up is, you know, like, why did King Tut die? They don't know for sure. But, okay, his parents were brother and sister.
Oh, yeah.
He had a club foot. You know, he had, you know, what they're pretty sure is a diminished capacity from the shape of his head and everything. You know, so in and of themselves, these were not probably the smartest people under the sun, because you know, that just
didn't he look like out. Jason off of the original Friday the 13th when he popped out of the water?
So, you know, it wouldn't be bad. Right, Bethany?
Yeah,
that's another good explanation. Yeah. Our work ethic just...
Well, they came to find out that these people probably wasn't even slaves. Like, the whole thing we were taught coming up was, you know, they had slaves build the pyramids, but now they're like, no, they probably weren't slaves.
Oh. Yeah, they just gave them beer every day. I did read that here recently. It was, oh, yeah, they just made sure they had plenty to drink.
That's always the solution.
Right, yeah, that's it. Hey, can y'all come help me build my back deck? I'll have a case of beer, and we'll grieve.
Yeah. You hold us. You're holding a shovel, and you tell them you're looking with one eye. Tell them no, morph over a little bit more this way.
Exactly, and something the size of a pyramid. Right, but
the Great Pyramid is 750 feet on the sides.
So it was supposed to be four sides,
plumb, and it's plumb within half an inch, plus or minus, on every corner.
You can't
build an outhouse that square.
No, I could get behind. The lifting of the stones. Like, I've seen people logically explain how to lift the stones. I've watched it.
But water sleds.
No, yeah. there was a guy who, I mean, it's an older video. It's like from the 80s, but he built like a fulcrum that could lift a stone equal to that with not very many people.
Okay. But what about the 100 ton stone? What about the 100 ton stone 300 feet up in the air in the Queen's Chamber?
Well, that's a different story.
Okay,
but what I was getting at though is like, there's some of this stuff that you can, what people will do will gather up all of the explainable stuff and spitfire that at you, and not explain any of this other stuff that just can't be done.
And completely ignore the fact that if their story's right, they were dropping a stone in place perfectly, because every step that's up there, people have measured it with lasers. It's level all the way across.
When do you think we got the technology to be able to cut stones that perfectly?
In the beginning. Yeah. We had we had that technology thousands of years ago. As y'all have looked into the Tartarian stuff, what I believe falls right in line with what y'all believe on that right there, in that we had a high level of technology thousands of years ago. You had a deluge that came in and just nearly wiped out humanity, and it's been rebuilding since then.
You know, one thing that I was reading when I was looking into this was a reference to Noah, just because like that maybe it was associated with the same reset of Earth as the story of Noah, the great flood.
Right.
And that they built them in preparation for it. But
yeah,
I don't know how much good it did them, you know.
Do you think it was kind of like a DNA bank, kind of like how they have that bank in, I guess it's Greenland, for like all the flowers and stuff?
Yeah, for all the seed bank up there. Yeah,
like whatever it was, somebody got to it before honest people did.
Yeah, it's just like Göbekli Tepe. You look at that, and that dates back to the dates on that come in at 9,600 years on Göbekli Tepe. They built all that. It's the way that it's built. It's amazing. They have bas relief of animals on those pillars there that don't even exist on this planet anymore in 3D.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's older than what they tell us the Great Pyramids are. They claim the Great Pyramids are only 4,500 years old.
Right.
Or 4,600 years old, whatever in that. But, I mean, the way that it's lined up perfectly, north, south, east, and west, and it's better than the modern-day observatory in Paris, in France. It's closer than that is.
That's so wild. Like, and you know, they suspect that all the plans and everything that went to building this was in the Alexandrian library or whatever. So they always say that we were set back 1,000 years, but if we were set back 1,000 years with architecture like this, you would think that we'd still be doing better. Like, because this was just spot on.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at
and all they had were sticks and stones, apparently, you know, and some hammers they chiseled out.
Well, yeah, we know that that's absolutely not the case, but somebody commented earlier something about the, I just wanted to double back for a second so we didn't lose it, but something about the Lion's Gate portal.
Yeah, I was actually just looking at the same thing.
And it's literally just like astrological stuff. Like, I can't find anything about a significance to the Sphinx. I don't know if you can, Morgana.
Well, what I'm reading now is on the 5th of August every year. This happens every year on the 8th of August. But on the 5th of August, the star Sirius lines up perfectly with Orion's belt.
Are you serious?
Yes. And then these three. I know where you live, Cecil. But anyway, the Orion's belt lines up perfectly with the pyramids of Giza. And then on 8/8 every year, Sirius joins and all of it lines up. And it's believed that this alignment opens the galactic Lion's Gate portal, emitting high frequency energy into Mother Earth and all the beings that reside there.
Yeah, but it didn't like unlock the Sphinx or anything?
It doesn't say anything about the Sphinx. No, just about the pyramids.
I thought maybe that was a key to the hand or whatever.
It really could be. It could be something like tied into that that would open that chamber in the Sphinx that somehow nobody knows how to open. But it does look like there's a little spot behind the ear that you could reach in there and do something with.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my hand in there and just see what happens.
It's like that that scene from The Mummy where you just pull bones back out.
I'm sorry, but what would be worse is like in the Indiana Jones thing when you stick your hands in there and there are all these bugs and stuff.
Those scarabs from The Mummy were like terrifying.
Yes, yes.
And I imagine in the right places, they probably do have a lot of booby traps and stuff in those old tombs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird, all the people that died when they opened King Tut's tomb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and you know, recently when we were talking, okay, go ahead. That seems related.
They just jogged the thought. The only person that didn't die was wearing a special ring.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a ring blueprint that he had gotten from another tomb that was supposed to give, priests in Egypt their power. Mm-hmm. And he had recreated the ring as part of that and wore it in there. And he was the only person that didn't get messed with or dead after that.
Really?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
That's cool.
Another thing that's real crazy about these pyramids is we were always raised to believe that they were tombs, but there's nobody in them.
No.
And so what do they use them for? You know?
Right.
There's only how many people's actually been in the King's Tomb? Aleister Crowley's one, which just like two more that's actually been in there.
Yeah.
I forget the other two that's been in there. Yeah. But what did they use it for? Like, and that's the reason I think that it somehow plays in. If it wasn't Tartaria, it was the Empire before Tartaria. Mm-hmm. And because Tartarians, everybody, well, if you're in the know, they have ways to, you know, create electricity. Mm-hmm. And everything about these pyramids seem to be something to do with like electrical currents. Like even speaking about the vibe you feel when you go there, like it just draws energy. And plus that gold on top is a conductor, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It's a, and also those shafts, those 8-inch shafts that
they have no apparent.
You look at them, at a certain time, and I'm sure you'll get to see a star.
Uh-huh.
But an 8-inch square shaft, there's no way you can carve that from the outside in or anything else like that. That had to be done as they placed the stones, to me.
Yes, and it had to be perfectly aligned.
Yeah, so
you know, because at that angle, it didn't go through one stone. It went through multiple stones.
Yes.
Well, to do that, you would think that you would have to go inside and, you know, check it from the inside. But if I'm not bad mistaken, when they opened them up the first time around, there were no scorch marks from any kind of torches.
No, there's no marks in there. What I'm kind of heading towards with it is, I think they were, these stones were cut out. How far away was it? How many miles away was it?
It was
500.
Was it those miles?
Or was that, am I thinking of Stonehenge?
Well, yeah. I mean, either, I mean, it's the same concept in both situations. I mean, you know, you've got something that was nowhere near where it ended up at with technology that supposedly didn't exist.
Yeah. The granite was transported over 500 miles.
Yeah, it's 500 miles. That's what I was thinking. It's 500 miles that it was transported.
See, that alone is unbelievable.
Yes, and it was quarried at the pit where they got all the stone from. That's where they cut the stones out at. And then they hauled it there, and then they put it together.
Did they ever find evidence of, like, any reshaping once it got to the spot? Or did they just shape them literally on spot and drag them across the desert?
I think they literally shaped them on spot. See, whenever they're building the temple in Jerusalem, in King Solomon's time, those stones were cut at the pit, and they hauled them there, and then they put them up.
I know this is probably not something that's ever been thought of, and it's probably just in my mind. But what if the whole area was underwater and they just boated them up there?
Well, they claim, you know, that the Nile River was 8 miles closer than what it is now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah. But I mean, the only boat that they found, it's not something that's going to haul a 2.5-ton stone.
Is that the one that was Khufu's?
Yeah,
I remember something about that too.
You're not hauling it. The boat didn't have windows in it.
No, just a little. Yeah.
Well, maybe these rocks.
I'm sorry, yeah. But I mean the story they tell us just doesn't make sense to me.
Maybe the last rocks were actually floated and wood sank.
I was trying to find that ring. It was really hard to find it the first time. So I don't think I'm going to be able to find it off the cuff.
Yeah.
You're supposed to bookmark these kind of things, Tyler.
Well, yeah. This was before we even booked this show. This was probably a year ago.
I saw
that.
Gotcha.
And another thing, I hate to keep going back to Tartaria, but that's the kick I'm on now. they found cocaine. In this area,
yeah.
And at the time, cocaine could only be found in the Americas.
Yeah, in South America only.
Yeah,
where a lot of pyramids are at.
So it wasn't beer that was the incentive, is what you're saying.
maybe the cocaine was why they had such a work incentive.
They got it done in 20 years because they were coked up.
There you go.
I can see that.
These theories are getting better.
They've been to the disco music the whole time.
So another thing that I was just thinking about before we got on the show tonight, think about this. Other than Egypt, like during the same period in history, what other civilization do we talk about a lot? Like during that given period, there's not really any prominent figures that we know about other than Egyptians.
2,000 years ago? No, not really. Because the Mayans, what were they? They wasn't even 10,000 years ago.
Yeah, the Mayans, they weren't that long ago, actually. They were a lot closer to us.
How long did what we were told?
They probably reigned for what, 2,000 years maybe at most? I don't know.
Maybe.
But it's like, you know, thousands of years later, we know all these people's names and, you know, they make movies about it still.
Right.
And I would like to point out that regardless of how beautiful Elizabeth Taylor was, I'm pretty sure Cleopatra was not a white woman.
Well, she was Greek.
Yes, she was Greek. She was Greek. Yes, she was. But so anyway, back to where we were.
Well, yeah. No, I just wanted to point that out. Like, part of me thinks that we're taught all of this about Egypt intentionally, you know, because it's like I'm almost to the point where it's like if someone's teaching this in public school, it's to steer us away from the truth.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy too, like the things they've figured out since I was in school, like in grade school and like middle school and high school even. And it keeps changing. Like, how far did it change from the time they found it till then, you know, like that we don't even know about back then. I love to find an encyclopedia or something that was wrote around that time and see what they say about all
of
it.
You know what? If I think about it, I won't be able to this weekend because I'll be out of town. But I've got that old set of encyclopedias from the 30s that my dad had. I bet you that's got something cool in it.
Does it still talk about flat Earth?
I don't know. That's not something I probably was looking at, you know, at that point in time. But I will definitely check it out. Because like I said, the entire A to Z is 5 volumes. That's, you know, I remember the World Book set that we used at the library when I was a kid was like 52 volumes. And that was like the history of the world. But you know, back in the 30s, it was a 5 volume set.
You know, that costs more than a brand new 2023 GMC Canyon with a trail pack.
Oh, yeah.
They're expensive. Like, Sonic Completers are high. I wonder why they're so expensive.
Yeah.
Because they're full of knowledge.
Yeah. And they really are. Because that's what my dad used to read. He didn't read just, you know, books. He would go pick up that encyclopedia and just open it to wherever it landed and start reading. Nice. You know, which, you know, that's probably why I do stuff like that.
So, what do you think is there a legitimate Book of the Dead, do you think? Like, you think they were messing with different magics and stuff back then?
Well, I've always heard people talk about the Egyptian Book of the Dead. So
there, it seems like death was heavily ingrained in their culture. And they were definitely using, they didn't come out and outright say it, but they were definitely using something like mushrooms or some kind of a hallucinogen to bring them closer to these realms that they talk about. But
right. Well, they definitely had a big belief in the afterlife, you know. Yes. that's why if you look into the tombs, everything from games to food to boats, everything else was always placed in the tombs with the pharaoh. And everything, you know, they would need.
That scares me too, because
people.
Yes,
that scares me too, because like they always say now, you can't take it with you when you go. But this old religion, they thought you could. So, I mean, I won't take my Xbox and TV with me.
Well, and, you know, the part of the Book of the Dead that they have, you know, talks about being funerary spells and, you know, it helped the deceased find their way to the afterlife and everything. But like I said, you know, how much of it do we not have? Because a lot of times with those old papyruses and stuff, you know, you really don't have a complete picture.
I'll go out on a limb and say that if Alistair wanted to go, something's up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, the people who are in control of it now. yeah. Well,
do you think it's in the Vatican?
Okay. I think there's a lot of stuff under the Vatican, including a lot of the stuff that supposedly burned at Alexandria.
Right.
I mean, I don't think they lost all of that. I think somebody wanted it, and, you know, they took out what they needed and made it look good. Or that may just be what we were told, that it burned down. I mean,
the burning of that library was an insurance job. I'm from Lakeview, Kentucky. I recognize one when I see it.
There you go.
Yeah, well, I mean, according to what people have said about the library, you know, there were millions of volumes in the library. Mm-hmm. And the one in Alexandria was just one of them. There was another one. Oh, cannot remember where it's at now. But there was another one that also got burned down. It had like 500,000 volumes in it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of like, and I know it was a totally fiction, the Nicolas Cage, where they go and find the treasure and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I think there's something. Treasure. Yeah, there you go. I mean, there's something out there. There's something to that.
Right.
You know. Like I said, I don't think we've lost all of that knowledge. I think that it's somewhere, probably in the Vatican. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, one thing that I was looking at, I mean, we talk about this quite frequently because of the nature of what we talk about.
Right.
But Nimrod, the man of many names, you know, a lot of the lore that I read about also say that he was, you know, Apollo and Ra as well. So I think maybe at the very least we can speculate that some of the Nephilim might have been left over at that point when they were building everything.
Yeah, very, very likely, you know. It's a
It's safe to say Egypt was pre-flood.
Yeah. In my view, yeah, it absolutely was. I mean, what was it in the 1200s, 1100s, 1200s? There was an earthquake that leveled Cairo, and the Great Pyramid is still there.
Yeah.
It's only settled by about an inch.
Ain't that amazing? Many
thousands of years it's been there.
Ain't that amazing? They built these things back then to withstand the earthquake that leveled the city, but we can't do that now.
Right. See, and here's another thing about the Great Pyramid. Not only do you have this really impressive monument or whatever it is standing there, before they even started building the pyramid, they leveled off that hilltop. They had it's the size of 14 soccer fields. It's 13 acres is what they leveled off. Level. We a couple of years ago during the year whenever COVID hit, we decided we were going to build a little patio with the little 1 foot pavers. And we were trying to get it level. My daughter, she insisted that we try to get this level. After this ended in futility several times, my wife finally just put them all down and said, "There it is, deal with it."
They'll sink.
Yeah, that's right. Grass is going to grow over them anyway.
Yeah, so I mean, we've got one out there now that, you know, when I cook fish or whatever, you know, I'll go out there to that. But trying to get that, and I mean, that thing's, what, a 15 by 15 or something. We couldn't get that thing level. Right.
Well, that's, you know, my husband's workshop is 20 by 28 or 24 by 28, and it's like an inch and a half out of plumb.
Yes.
And he's like, "I have never been able to get anything perfectly in plumb in my life."
No.
You know, and that's with you doing it with all the tools that we have now and all of the knowledge. And if you can't get something that size, how the hell do you get something the size of a pyramid?
Yeah, because the people had the technology at that time to be able to do it. If we couldn't measure, like I said about that laser transit that was invented in 1964, if we couldn't measure it until 1964 when the laser transit was invented, they must have had something at least equivalent to it to be able to do what they did to get it to the level.
So when we talk about that, what kind of technology do you think they had?
That right there is a real speculation to me, because I have to go back. I look at the Nazca lines. The only way that you can truly appreciate the Nazca lines is you have to be in the air at least 1,000 feet above them so that you can see what you're actually looking at.
Right.
And there's a spider there. It's a very rare spider, and it actually does its reproduction with the third leg. And unless you have a microscope, you don't know what that spider's doing with that leg. And they've got that thing built perfectly in the Nazca lines.
Wow.
So they had to have microscopes back in to be able to see that.
Mm-hmm. That's insane. I didn't know where you were going with that.
Or real keen eye. Oh,
yeah. I had heard that years ago, too. And it's like, you know, oh, no, they did that from the ground, Stephen.
Yeah, they were just walking paths. That's all.
That's right. There you go. Walking paths. Or I'd even heard it said that they had like a hot air balloon situation where they could guide the people under them.
Now, that's something I do. Like, if anything was plausible, like as far as science goes, which they don't even admit this, hot air balloon is something I believe they probably had. Time period, for sure.
I mean, if they had something equivalent to a laser transit, I wouldn't doubt that they had helicopters. Aren't there depictions around the world of helicopters from ancient times?
Yes, or even as little time ago as Da Vinci.
That's probably where we got the idea.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in India, they talk about people having flying machines and stuff, and the hot air balloon is one that that basically, from what I've read, they've all but proven so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's completely possible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But they still can't get a Zeppelin guess, you know, since the Hindenburg, it's like, oh yeah, that technology doesn't work. We're just going to trash that. Never use it again.
I feel like that was some kind of setup too, well, because better modes of transportation. Really, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought this. Well,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I thought this was Egypt, but it's not. But I'm still going to show it, and maybe we should do a show on this at some point.
Mm-hmm. We're doing it, brother.
But
well, you know, this was technically supposed to be the mysteries of Egypt, not just the pyramids of Egypt. But well, so we will expand on this at a later date.
Yeah. I mean, isn't Samaria even older than Egypt?
It is. Yeah. And yeah, there is actually an Egyptian mummy that was found wrapped in Etruscan scrolls.
So there's straight up a picture of a nuke and a mushroom cloud in Sumerian hieroglyphics.
Wow. Yeah.
But that's a chance that's not a mushroom cloud. There's a chance that that's just a mushroom. Because, I mean, mushrooms were a big part of, like, I guess the awakening of humankind, I would imagine. Like, this, yeah. You find mushrooms and fungi all over the place.
Yeah, well, that, I mean, that's what people do whenever they go to the, they go together in the big groups and they all take psilocybin. And they have contact with some type of an interdimensional beings.
You know, we're all still kind of on the fence about having that whole ayahuasca experience.
Yeah, you said it. You said it right there.
I'm not on the fence. I'm just don't know if I'll come back.
Well, you know, I figure if we do it as a group, that you know, we'll be in a safe space. Yeah. So, I don't know though, Cecil. I think he'd take full advantage. Yeah.
So. Well, and there's the whole, I know we keep getting back to pyramids.
No, yeah, that's fine.
Well, I mean, that's the biggest part of Egypt.
There was kind of leaving the planet for a minute. There was a cluster of, you know, what conspiracy theorists believe to be pyramids on Mars.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And the face on Mars.
Mm-hmm. And they were the pyramids. Configuration on Mars was actually an astrological configuration for a, I guess you call it a constellation.
Have you seen the pictures of the face whenever the light's not shining? Does it not look like somebody came over and kicked over your sandcastle? Like originally it's a perfect face. You can tell it's a face. And then when they showed again, it looks like somebody literally just walked through it and kicked it over.
On what?
Like that face, whenever they show it again, it looks like somebody literally went and defaced it, like just destroyed it.
You're talking about the face on Mars?
Yeah.
Well, there is a rover that's been there a few years. It's had time to do work.
John Carter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I keep preaching it. Stargates.
Well, maybe the Nazis did that when they got there before they died.
There you go. That's it.
Well, there's also
supposedly there's dead Nazis on Mars, so I don't know.
Well, and the base that you're talking about is like it literally looks like a big doorway cut into the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And something else again, pyramid related. Okay, if they're 4,500 years old, and I feel like that it's possible they're older than that, but if they're only 4,500 years old. To still be maintaining the shape, there is very little erosion considering that it's in a desert and that at one point there was water, you know. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, you know, I mean, buildings don't last that long in our time, you know. I mean, you're lucky if they last a couple hundred years. Right. So, you know, it's yeah, there's just so much that they don't explain, can't explain.
Do we know if they're on ley lines?
I don't know. Hold on a second. Let me look. It seems like yes, but I can't remember.
Yeah. It seems like the chances are very strong.
Yeah, well, it's on the exact same parallel as the pyramids in Mexico.
Right. And is it not on one that is like catty cornered from Stonehenge?
If they're a source of power. Mm-hmm. What if the reason there are pyramids all over the world is because the Great Pyramids were the main conductor, mm-hmm. and then the other pyramids around the world were transmitting that power?
Yeah, and wouldn't that fall in line with what the stories are about Atlantis?
Yeah.
Because the Atlanteans, they lived, 9,600 years? What, 7,200 years or something like that before Ceylon. And Ceylon lived 2,000 years before Plato. So that would put it at 9,600 years or something like that.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I was listening to somebody the other day talk about helium. So helium-4 is what we use in balloons today. Mm-hmm. But apparently there's a ton of helium-3 on the moon. And in space, helium-3 is actually a different form than what it would be here on Earth. It's space, more of a
ice, ain't it?
Yeah, more of a solid. And they speculate that with helium-3 they could successfully execute fusion,
full cold fusion or whatever.
And you would basically have, just with one reactor, you could power the whole world for 10,000 years on just a little bit of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, with them being so advanced in their architecture and everything, the people themselves more than likely had, it's possible they had some form of fusion. Because, if you look at it, there's even what you showed earlier, there's evidence of nuclear war from around this time.
Nuclear, yeah. And those hieroglyphics where they're holding light bulbs.
Yeah, was it? Right, yeah. And was it Himmler who said whenever they finally set the atomic bomb off in the desert here in America that was not the first time that had happened on this planet, because he'd been reading the ancient Sanskrit from India, and they talked about the atomic bombs or nuclear weapons that went off back then, back when people had Vermanas, machines.
And it's getting off topic, but the Afghanistan battery.
Yeah, they had the Baghdad battery as well. They have that in a museum in Great Britain.
It might be the Baghdad battery. I call it that.
It doesn't matter. There's all types of technology that's been found that doesn't make sense. You know,
if I'm not mistaken, don't they have the holographs of that battery?
I was fixing to say it's like an old light bulb.
Yeah, and the light bulbs they have hieroglyphics of, it shows snakes inside it, but it looks like we would understand it today as the filament in the bulb.
Exactly. Yeah. But, they tried to make it into snakes forever and everything. So,
yeah, it's just like concrete that's been found from ancient times. There's even been some that have claimed that they have found ancient concrete reinforced with iron here in Arkansas on Pettit Jean Mountain.
Wow. Well, we know that we were lied to about a ton of stuff pre-1900.
Yes.
And people are always like, well, how did we go from riding buggies and horses to what we are now in 100 years? And that's how. All of this stuff already existed. They've just been finding it and recreating it.
Right. And it's just like with Alexander Graham Bell with the telephone. I'm not sure where I didn't look up the statement to confirm it for myself, but I've been told, that he stated that whenever he made his first telephone call, that this was not the first time that had been done.
Right.
And that kind of leads me to believe, that there have been people who've known all this knowledge, but they didn't have the technology to put it into use until here lately.
Well, I think also you run into people experimenting with the stuff, things that they found in these other cultures from ancient times. They recreate it, and then our government snaps it up. Just like we did the show about all the patents that have been snapped up. One of those, I think it was around the time, it might have even predated Graham Bell, but there was a guy who created kind of a weird version of a television where you could talk to the dead.
Really?
And that got snatched up. It was like a radio for the dead almost.
Yeah, I remember reading something about that.
box.
Okay, so it was similar to a spirit box, but you could actually see them.
Yeah, you could. It was like a television. Television.
Okay.
It was like a television, except you could communicate with. Claim that you could communicate with the dead, and that got snatched up real quick.
Yeah.
And they likely had stuff like this in Egypt.
And whatever it is, Stephen, you might remember, or Cecil, or Morgana, the thing that they have now that where they can glimpse into the future to see how they're changing it.
Oh yeah.
What?
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, the elites have this machine.
Yeah,
there was an operation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they change stuff.
Project Looking Glass.
Yeah, they change stuff, and then they have something where they can look to see how the future is going after they make these changes.
Yeah, and see that there are also a lot of people who can who claim to be able to tap into that, and they can see into the future as well. You know, they can see bits and pieces of the future and kind of see what future events are.
Which is why the government's always looking for remote viewers too.
Yeah. Yes. Remote viewers. That's pretty much been proven, you know, that anybody with a proper training can do that.
You know, it might be one of you guys that I talk about the remote. Have you guys ever heard of the remote viewing apps that they have on your phone now?
Oh no.
They have a remote viewing, tournament where you battle people for who is more successful at remote viewing. And I'm just like, that is not what you want to be doing. Like, if you start doing really good on that, you're going to get snatched up.
I do remember seeing something about that. Yeah, listening to you talk about it. Yeah, it was like, oh, just download this app and you and people around the world.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, yeah, I think there's a massive effort to keep us from utilizing things that were found in Egypt and other ancient civilizations. But I think, just like we were talking earlier, the fact that Egypt's pretty much the only civilization that we talk to or talk about and know figures and study figures from within that area, I think that Egypt was just too big of a Pringles can for them to bury it from us completely. So, rather than tell us the truth, they tell us, you know, this carnival ride about, you know, everything being just a tomb, and you know, they had a bunch of slaves that did everything.
By the time they found it, could you imagine them trying to tear it down without people noticing?
Like, they couldn't have. They got away with burning down and destroying all of the Great Expo, like all of that architecture from Tartaria. Mm-hmm. But just like we said at the beginning of this, the amount of manpower and elite knowledge that you'd have to construct everything that's in Egypt, it would take an equal force. And we hadn't invented, or at least we hadn't used nukes yet.
Yeah.
They would have literally had to drop a nuke on it to get rid of it.
And my knife not then.
So am I the only, does somebody else remember this? Isn't the Sphinx carved out of one solid piece?
Yes, it is. It was a yardang.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember for sure.
Yes.
And, you know, that's huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
and the fact that they believe it's almost 800,000 years old now, too, like in some cliques, that's kind of crazy to me as well, because, like, what kind of civilization would have been around, you know, nearly a million years ago that would have built that?
Well, imagine you're the first person to discover time travel, and you're like, well, I want to go back and see what all of these simpletons were doing, you know, 2,000 years ago, and you go back and it's literally like flying cars in a metropolis.
Right, because I expected my flying car by now. Do you know George World Jetson peace. Was born in 2022?
Really?
Yes. Yes, he was.
Who?
George Jetson from the Jetsons. Oh,
okay.
So, you know, I expected flying cars by now.
Did you know that the Flintstones and the Jetsons live at the same time?
Yes.
Yes.
I saw that episode.
I mean, we still have people living in a primitive way today with all the technology that we have in the world now.
The Man from 3020 basically tells the story of the Jetsons and the Flintstones just a little different. The guy that was a time traveler that came back from 3020 or whatever.
I think we all pretty much agree, you know, with how everything's went down since, you know, Egypt was really dug out again. But do you think that all of this, like, we know about the Nephilim, we know they're immortal, or at least close to it. I mean, you know, even if you have something that could live 200,000 years, that's enough to span.
I've heard that too, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I've heard that. But, I lost my thought. Okay, so Nephilim. So what if you have either a small group or even one left, and, you know, people always talk about lizard people and everything else, but what if you have a being that has lived through every reset and saw where it's went wrong and where people, you know, finally put a stop to it, or, you know, fail to put a stop to it, and the world ends in some apocalyptic way, except for this being starts humanity over again and lets humanity get, you know, right up to the point of being independent and, you know, free, and then puts in, you know, all the constructs that we have in society today that prohibit us from being like energy independent, or, you know, not on a fiat money system.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but why?
Well, you know, if you have a being, it's kind of like that old saying. It's like if you were able to dream for 100 years at a time, oh, in the course of one night, at first you would give yourself everything you've ever wanted in real life, but eventually you get bored of that, and you would start making it harder and harder on yourself, and you would start seeing what you could get away with. And if you have somebody who's lived hundreds of thousands of years, or, you know, even 100,000, they're probably just bored.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, compared to us, they probably look at themselves as a god.
Wouldn't that be a kick in the face if, like, all the bad stuff that's happening was orchestrated because somebody was bored?
That's not a far-fetched concept.
Well, I mean, people, I'm pretty sure that a lot of people believe in angels. But angels are immortal. And according to the Bible, they're angels that are good, and there are fallen angels. And they could be the ones behind all the mischief.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, they were at least some of them were given dominion over Earth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably the ones making all the chaos right now because they don't like us.
So, yeah, I would probably get bored, too, to be honest. Yeah.
I mean, if you had been here and you'd seen everything from creation until now, and you don't like humans.
What's to like? I mean,
yeah.
As a species, as a species, you are. Well, and when I say that, I mean, I love my people, you know, but as a species, I don't like people.
Oh yeah. We've done horrible things to each other.
Yes. Yes. Instead of just live and let live. You know, yes. How difficult is that? It's really not that difficult. It's just not.
Yeah. I mean, this will take us off into different subjects. You keep going this way because my mind is going right to it. You know, you might get flagged.
Yeah, that's okay.
Like, we stayed on subject for about 45, 50 minutes. We're good.
We stayed on subject good today.
Yes, we did. Very good. And yeah,
I even got my rant in.
So. Yeah. Well, we're definitely, like I said, we will revisit Egypt again because there is so much.
Another 4 hours if we get off on something else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, but, you know, like I said, I mean, I think we, you know, covered a pretty good bit on Sphinx and pyramids tonight.
We got them down.
Yes, absolutely. But you know, then that there are so many mysteries surrounding, you know, the different pharaohs. And I know we've talked about the fact, time travel, the fact that they've never found Genghis Khan's grave. Well, they've never found Nefertiti's either. You know, I mean, so, and like I said, that's a pretty big character from the past.
And there's some people who believe that Helios, the son of Mark Anthony and Cleopatra, was actually buried in Illinois.
Well, and you know, there's also, you know, speculation that Nefertiti was actually Akhenaten posing as a man so that she could rule. There's so much that
what was the other woman's name who she was actually the pharaoh, and they've done all kinds of damage to everything that she all her statues and stuff.
I know who you're talking about. Her son, I think, destroyed pretty much every reminder of her.
Yes, defaced all the statues and stuff of her.
Right.
They literally carved out her stuff off of the steelies and everything else. I mean,
It's Hephaestus. Oh gosh, I know who you're talking about, and I can picture, because when they found the mummy, they finally found her mummy, and she didn't have all the raiment and everything that so many of them do. I mean, it was literally just a mummy.
Yeah, and she was the one who was leading a lot of building projects took place under her reign.
Right, because they said she was the mother of a king as well as the wife of a king. So at that point in time, she was like the most powerful woman in the history that they knew. Yes.
Yes.
And I can't remember her name. Like I said, I can picture the mummy just as sure as I'm looking at it.
You know, but, there was also a labyrinth that I was going to bring up that I had bookmarked, but apparently there was a 2-story labyrinth that had 3,000 rooms in it in Egypt.
Nice.
And I mean, that's literally unheard of. They scanned the plateau where it was at just to I mean, they haven't excavated it. It's there, but I mean, who knows what that is?
Yeah, they've put so many limitations on what they're allowed to do over there now, too, as far as excavations and stuff.
3,000 rooms is a lot of rooms.
That's huge. Stephen, her name was Queen Hatshepsut.
That's it.
She was the stepmother of Thutmose.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so wild, everything that you go into about Egypt. Labyrinths, queens, labyrinths, pharaohs, pyramids, all kinds.
That's right.
I guess we're going a little bit over. Curses. But see, there was another group of people that would come in from time to time, and they would conquer Egypt, and those were called the Hyksos. They came from the north.
Is that where we got our name, the Hicks?
It may be. The best that's been done with the translation is they were shepherd kings.
Because if you look at the old maps with Tartaria in it, I mean, Tartaria was all of where China was, all of Russia. I mean, it covered, North America. So you would think, if Egypt wasn't a part of Tartaria, they were like small potatoes compared to Tartaria.
Yeah.
Cahokia, whatever you want to call it.
Cahokia, Illinois, there's a huge pyramid there.
That's right.
You know what, though? If it's a scenario, let's say the four of us were fallen angels, and everybody's bored, and you're just like, we're just going to rule the world.
Yeah,
I would probably just sit back and wait until you almost destroyed it, and then I would just do something to completely ruin everything.
I'd be too lazy.
Tully comes up walking over water.
I'd be chilling in my Chase Lounger eating grapes.
I'd give somebody a looking glass or something. Like, just, I'd give somebody a piece of technology that would truly help.
Like Big Blow Tesla.
Yep. Yeah. All right, guys, we've gone over, but it's been a great conversation. Like I said, we will definitely put Egypt back on the list so we can revisit it again.
Yeah, there's still a lot to cover there.
Yes, there is. All right, everybody, we appreciate you joining us. It's been great. If, you know, there's something you want us to talk about, just let us know. If there's something you love, we want to know that too. If you hate it, well, we'll take that. We hope you like it.
We do our best.
Yes, we do. All right, guys. You all have a good night. Until next time, stay weird.
Good night, everybody.